Chark Chat Technorama for Sunday, July 31st, 2005.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocopic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes, prefamulated amulite, malleable logarithmic casing, swerving bearings, panometric fan, Milford trunnions, ambifacient lunar wane shaft, lotus o deltoid type, semi-boloid slots of the stator, drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplanaration. Retroencabulator.
Welcome to Technorama. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp.
Hello, everybody.
Technorama is the show that gets grease out of your way. First time I read that, I thought it said gets geeks out of your way. Coming up tonight's show, we've got a couple of listener questions and feedback. We've got the status of the tablet PC, or not. A little bit of news about Harley-Davidson and how they're meeting the needs of their geek riders. A keyboard that is reported to reduce repetitive stress. Mm-hmm. Seems like we've heard that before.
Yeah.
We've got a What the Chuck segment and something special for you at the end of the show. How's that sound to you?
Sounds very good. Let's get started.
All right.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
I know that guy.
Good.
Thank you, Dr. Floyd and Dr. Grant.
That's awesome.
I like that.
Yeah, if you haven't heard Dr. Floyd, I suggest you go over to drfloyd.com after our show and subscribe.
5-minute weekly radio show, nominated for the podcast awards, but unfortunately by the time you get this, the awards will probably be closed. So we wish him all the best of luck, and I look forward to seeing him at the Podcast and Portable Media Expo. We have listener feedback. Charles Stell was asking us last week, was it, about backups. He was talking about CD-ROMs and how he was outgrowing those and was getting a stack of them for his backups. And we had recommended DVD-R or a couple other things. It sounded like he wasn't really interested in going to magnetic tape. But he informed me today that he went with a 160 gigabyte external USB 2.0 drive, so he won't have stacks of media. Excellent choice, Charles. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's about the sweet spot for hard drive prices right now, I think.
Yeah, and I've seen some really good deals, especially coming over some of the websites that show deals.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some, it's like a 225 gig for something crazily cheap, but crazily.
Crazily. New word.
New word for today. But of course it included rebates, but so 160 is not too bad though, no.
Yeah, if you watch for the rebates, I think I saw 160, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, with, I think it was 3 rebates, if you're into that. One was in store, 2 were mail-in, and it brought the thing down to like $30. Now, that was the hard drive. It didn't include the enclosure or anything.
But, 160 gig, who needs anything more than that?
640K, who needs anything more than that?
512?
Now, moving on to Jorga from Belgium. Jorga is new listener, well, relatively new. He caught up with me on the interview with Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy that I did a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you're a sysadmin, right? Well, last time I checked, Friday was System Administrator Appreciation Day, and I got some cookies, so that must make me a system admin.
Oh, yeah.
Says, well, at school, I'm more or less the computer guy. But how in God's name do you explain to someone why they need to change or reset the administrator password of their account? And he goes through and explains about Control-Alt-Delete. I can explain it, but they look at me like I'm talking Chinese or something. And the ones that do get it seem to think it's a good idea to always use that account. So, what is your way of working with people who can break the computer in about 50 seconds? I have to apologize. Why they came out so stilted was because, between his English and my Dutch, it was just a bad situation. But I think the general message is,
And Chuck's English, too.
Hey, my English is gooder than yours.
Yeah, that's right.
I would recommend changing the password on the administrator account, because administrator on any computer is the all-god-powerful, I can install anything. If you're running a web browser and you hit a malicious site or open an email attachment of nefarious means, it's going to have full control of your machine. You don't want that. You need some protection at some point. And I'll tell you, in recent weeks, we've been dealing with Sarbanes-Oxley Act, which here in the U.S. is a congressional act that tells all businesses to be very accountable for their financial systems. One of the pieces of that is called separation or segregation of duties. The same person may have access to super-duper permissions, kind of like a building maintenance guy. He may have keys to everybody's apartment or a master key to all apartments, but he also has a key to his own apartment. And unless he needs to go into somebody else's apartment, he doesn't use the master key to go into his own. That would be silly, because if you lost that master key, you'd be giving away the building. Same kind of thing with the administrator account. Use your own personal account for running software, for doing your day-to-day operations. But when you need to install software, when you need to do system configuration, that's when you use an administrator account. Now, I would recommend two things. Change the password on that administrator account. Do not leave it blank, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Change it to something secure and follow the typical security rules. Mix up numbers and letters and symbols. And don't make it something you can look up in a dictionary. Don't even make it two dictionary words, like Coke plus can. That's too easy to crack for many of the password crackers these days. And I would also recommend a second action, rename the account. Go into the users and accounts and change it from administrator to something else, super nice guy or all-powerful deity or whatever you want. Don't make the login administrator, because it just makes it one easier target. If you move the cheese, the mouse isn't going to go down the right trail in the maze. So that's my logic on that one. Do you have any input?
Yeah, actually, not really so much as explaining to everybody how to the necessity in changing it, but I would also recommend changing like all your services and stuff that run as administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Change that to another privileged user. That way, when you change the administrator password, you don't break all your services.
Ah, yes. Very good.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and you're listening to Chuck Chat.
Now, this is probably going to be a shorter show than usual, but you know what? It's Sunday night, and both Craig and I were tied up this weekend, so we didn't have a whole lot of research time. But we will endeavor to bring you the best possible geek session we can.
And by the way, I am drinking beer, so maybe by the end of the show I'll be babbling. Hey, y'all. I love you, Chuck, and all our listeners.
We'll get back to that later. I know. Why is it every time we do something like that, somebody, somebody's going to come up with a sound bite of that?
Yeah, we'll have to edit that out. Okay, thanks.
Now, we found two articles indexed by Yahoo from TechWeb.
Yeah.
This is just, the internet is so scary sometimes, it can contradict itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure everybody's heard of tablet PCs. They're kind of like a laptop, but they don't open up like a clamshell. They're flat, and, most of them are flat. Some have a keyboard attachment.
It's like a notebook with an LCD screen right on the front.
Yeah, and you can write on the screen, and very handy, becoming very popular, especially the Windows ones.
Well, so you'd think.
So you'd think. However, within hours of each other, TechWeb had an article, one that said, tablet PCs headed for broader use, study says. Tell them the second one.
Tablet PC faces uncertain future, analysts say.
Maybe their study didn't include analysts.
Those are analysts from the other side of the building.
This just goes to show that you can ask anybody any question in any shape or form and get any result you want.
Sure.
If I had asked, you never know, maybe 10% of the people said, I don't think it's going to work out as a technology. Well, you could say, the study says, maybe those were the analysts, those 10%. Who knows? This is just ridiculous, but it was very funny to see on the same page on Yahoo this thing that says two different results.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It took me a minute as I was looking at it. I was like, what? Okay.
Maybe that should have gone in our What the Chuck segment.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the tablet PCs, was it Microsoft had a screenshot of one of their tablet PCs in action, and right in the corner beside the start button, you could see iTunes?
Oh, yes.
On Microsoft's site.
I posted that on my blog, and somebody made a comment that said, what does that icon mean? So they didn't know what iTunes meant. I guess I should have been a little more explicit.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny.
It is funny. Are you a motorcycle rider?
I'm not. My dad is. I do love him, though.
I used to be years ago, but I never renewed my license when I moved to Wisconsin, unfortunately. And Wisconsin is the home of Harley-Davidson.
I thought you were going to say after I got married.
Well, it was about the same time. I moved and got married, and everything started at the same time. Yeah. But I'm kind of getting the itch to get a motorcycle again. Not that I could afford anything like this right now, but Harley-Davidson on some of their models are now including an iPod connector. And I've even been told that some include Bluetooth and GPS.
That's pretty cool.
How cool would that be? Yeah, build a little Bluetooth network and use that as your wireless communications between motorcycles, or who knows where that could go. That would be really fun.
It would be, or you could create a podcast as you're riding around.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Stick your iRiver on there.
I don't know if you'd hear anything beyond.
No, you put the microphone inside your helmet, like a little small one, you probably could.
They're still noisy. The point is, a Harley is loud.
Hey, work with me, man. It's supposed to be my partner here. No?
I'll be playing devil's advocate tonight.
Yeah, no kidding. It's better than saying, well, that Harley sure is an expensive MP3 player.
It only provides the connector, doesn't include the iPod with it.
Yeah, I will.
News is this week that Vista is not due out. We're talking about Microsoft's latest operating system, formerly known as Longhorn, now called Microsoft Vista. It's not due out until Q4 of 2006.
I'm telling you, time is not on their side. They need to hurry up.
Now you know why they didn't call it Windows 2003.
Yeah. Kind of dates the OS, doesn't it?
But, so, you know,
hey, you know, Linux is making a lot of strides, and OS X is here today.
That's true.
You know, so, and with all the goodness that's in even both of those, and especially OS X, what is everybody waiting on?
I don't know. I'm kind of getting tired of hearing about Windows Vista, and every week it seems like you hear they're taking something else out. I'm just going to sit back and take a wait-and-see approach.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to have immediate adoption anyway. It's certainly not going to get in our enterprise on 1107.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Well, look how long it took for XP to finally start really taking hold. But, you know, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. You were talking...
Vista, 2006, Q4...
Ah, crap.
Harley-Davidson.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. You know, they keep taking these features out, and then one of the big announcements, it's probably been a couple months ago, they were talking about that IE7's going to have Atom support in Vista. I was like, so what? It's a format just like everything else.
Yeah.
I would expect it to support that, too. How hard is that to implement? I don't know. I'm not that jazzed about it. I like eye candy and stuff, and, you know, so I wouldn't mind seeing it, but...
The only thing that I thought was neat about that IE7 discussion was that they were going to be spreading around RSS and that technology into a lot more applications. I mean, I would love to have some sort of system alert message that, you know, just monitored an RSS feed, says, hey, this server is getting down to 10% storage. Instead of logging it into some system log,
You can implement that now with Jabber. Jabber's got streaming XML, you know, as its messaging background. What's to keep you from writing some little XML code to stream some data to you?
Oh, yeah. And I know there's add-on packages that will monitor your systems for you. But if that's all built in and you can just take a standard reader and start syndicating a lot of the system messages and network topology and... You know, so-and-so, hey, guess what? I can't ping this server anymore. Well, text me a message on my phone, send me an IM client message, and I want to know three different ways from Sunday that an issue, an event has happened. I think that would be so cool.
Well, you know, it seems like we talked about, it seems like a tech chat or something on in the trenches a long time ago. I was half kidding around, but we were talking about RSS, you know, the kind of technology around it, which, you know, it's just XML data, and actually seeing Microsoft use that with the Windows update.
Pushing
down patches and stuff. Were we talking about that? Was it you and it was
it
in there?
Sounds familiar. It sounds really familiar.
Yeah, we're talking about pushing patches out with XML, Lars, which would fit it right in.
This is nowhere in our outline, but I had a blue sky idea today. That you could take a GPS, and you know how awful it is to get directions from anybody? Even if they draw you a map and say, how do you get to your house? You have no idea what the landmarks are. I can navigate better if somebody says, go a quarter mile, look for the Shell station, turn left. Because if you're driving and looking for road signs, you're usually on top of the road sign or past it by the time you actually see it. It's too late to switch into the left lane. But you can see a gas station coming up a long way ahead. My blue sky idea is you take something like Google Maps and a VRML language and some type of 3D animation where I can give it a start point and an end point, and it will 3D navigate me. I can practice driving this route to get to from point A to point B, or navigate a tricky intersection or interchange in a city or something a number of times before I actually do it. And A, you wouldn't get lost. B, you wouldn't have people going, oh my gosh, I got to cut over three lanes. Boom. You know, at the last minute. They'd get instructions, and you could even put that on some kind of car navigation system. You know? And it would be 3D, so you'd see, you know, maybe it's not in the greatest detail, but you're driving down the road, look for a railroad crossing. When you get to the railroad crossing, make sure you turn left immediately after that.
Well, have you looked at the Google Earth yet?
A little bit, yeah.
You know, because I told it to plot a course from California to where I live.
Yep.
And it highlights the highway across the states, and then it'll if you double click on one of the turns, intersections, or major points in the directions, it'll zoom in and it'll angle the view, so it looks like you're in a helicopter or something above the road at an angle. So you can kind of see, oh, it's going to veer off this way. So it's similar to what you're talking about.
We're getting there. I've seen steps taken that way. But, yeah, we're getting there, and I'm a very visual person. I know it says, you know, go 4 miles and get into the left lane, but you have to read that and remember it all by yourself. When I'm on a business trip and I'm the only person in the car, those don't do me any good. I need to remember visually, oh, that's the way. And if I see it two or three times, it's like I've driven it two or three times, and then it's burned into
rock. Sure. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, this stuff's coming.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll have that done by the next show.
You work on that. I'll beta test it for you.
Okay, I'm getting to work now.
Shh. This is the part of the show where Craig codes.
Yeah.
Just mumble strange things to yourself. Pointer here.
I'm a good driver.
Passing the object. Yeah.
I like Kmart. Kmart sucks.
You make the hardware, I'll make the driver. So I'm a very good driver.
I'm not wearing any underwear.
You said that last time.
Oh, that's right.
Kmart socks. Yeah. Speaking of K, K is for keyboards, and keyboards, that's a terrible segue, but it's the only thing I got.
Sure.
Keyboards. I was scanning the news articles today and saw yet another keyboard to reduce repetitive stress injury. This thing looks like it's got about 10,000 keys on it. Holy catfish, man. But it looks like it's getting closer to my dream keyboard of like two cylinders where you type on them. Because the resting position for your hand is more of a... Not a horizontal keyboard and not quite a vertical keyboard, but something in between. And the Microsoft Natural Keyboard is all wrong because you're pointing your elbows out, really. You want something...
I use a Natural Keyboard.
It's not right. It changes the stress up to your shoulders. But this thing is getting closer, but the key layout just looks really crazy, and I don't know... It looks like it's going to work. It's closer because if you just rest your hand... on the table. It's almost vertical, but not quite, and that's where this looks like it is. However, the scary thing is, it's available at ThinkGeek.com for $495!
Yeah, see, right there, it's not going to work for me. That's where it stops.
Unless you can get work to pay for it.
I don't know.
How much does a surgery cost?
I don't know. Actually, my mother-in-law had that surgery twice.
Ooh. Ooh. That just sounds painful.
I'm sorry, I say twice, but in each wrist. She was a teacher, and she actually, believe it or not, from holding, I guess, doing chalk and, I guess, writing all the time, she had gotten it over time. This is before she started really using keyboards. So.
You found another article on a keyboard.
Yeah. Before I move along, I wanted to tell you that as far as that keyboard goes with the bowl, like you were just talking about. I got a friend at work. I don't know if he's really using it anymore, but he has this keyboard. It's a flat layout like a normal keyboard, but it has a dial in the top left and right hand corner of the keyboard, and you turn it and the keys can actually split in the middle and rise up.
Ooh.
So it makes like a triangular, it looks like a triangle sitting on top of your keyboard platform, and you just put your hands with thumbs pointing towards the ceilings, ceilings. Like you got more than one towards the ceiling, and just type away. And I used it a couple times, and I thought it was interesting. I could get used to it, but he loved it. It was an older keyboard. He had to use an AT to PS2 adapter to make it work. But it was an interesting keyboard.
I've also seen another one that had like vertical planes that kind of lifted up.
That's almost the way this would work.
Yeah.
It would come up. It would the keys would the Q through what T and the would lift up on one side.
That sounds actually pretty comfortable.
It wasn't too bad. I like the Natural Keyboard. It feels all right for me, but I like anything's better than a flat keyboard.
My biggest problem with the Natural Keyboard is it pointed out one critical flaw in my typing style. I am a touch typist, but I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The Natural Keyboard has the split between what the
T and the Y, G and H, and B and N.
Is it B N? Yes, yeah. Because I hit the B key with my right index.
I know I've done that before.
I'd be typing a letter to my boss. Hey,
N.
Bob, and it would go thunk. Oh, thunk.
Non. Hey, Non. What's up?
It was split right in the wrong place. No, I know where the N is, but I'd hit that solid plastic piece instead of the B. Like, who would be over there?
Yeah, it took me a little while to get used to it, but I've gotten used to it, and I've gone through this is actually my third one. I've got one at work and here, and I've had one that got broken when they moved my stuff from one cube to the other. We won't talk about that. Anyway, I do want to talk about this dvzine.org. If you're interested in the Dvorak keyboard layout, which they're big advocates of it. They have a magazine. It's animated. It's like more like a web cartoon. Talking about the virtues and history of the Dvorak keyboard. It's pretty interesting when you look at it and see where the Dvorak actually came from and how we got to the normal QWERTY keyboard that we got today. And in the back of it even has a little printout where you print it out, you fold it over, tape it together, and you got a little triangle thing you set on your desk to give you the Dvorak keyboard layout, and they tell you how to change your Windows settings, Linux settings, and I think even the Mac to change it where you can use your regular keyboard as a Dvorak layout.
Real quick, for a little background, the Dvorak keyboard is meant for speed. And when Craig mentioned how we got to the QWERTY keyboard, it's called a QWERTY keyboard because the letters across the top row are Q-W-E-R-T-Y. The layout is that way because it dates back to the old mechanical typewriter days where they originally start out with A, B, C, D, E, F, G across the top, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And because of the layout, the typist got to be too fast, and the keys would actually rise up, strike the paper, and set back. And the typists were so fast that they were starting to get jam-ups. One key would not be flying back from the paper in time for the other one to come up and strike. So they purposely laid out the keyboard in the style that it is today for most keyboards to be slower. So there's this natural tendency to hit this ceiling on how fast any one person can type. Even the best people typing can only get so fast because it's not optimized for speed. The QWERTY, the Dvorak keyboard is laid out for speed. I mean, under your left hand, I believe, is A-E-I-O-U. And since those are very common keys, your common keys are going to be closer. You don't have to stretch and reach. And further away are Z and Q and X.
Yeah, and I want to tell you, I tried it for about 15, 20 minutes after I read that, and I was typing like a dog. I was like, oh, you know, but I could see where it would be better, or I think it would be better if I kept with it. And, you know, I may try it again later because, you know, it seems interesting to me, but I don't know. We'll see.
It'd be nice to get nice and fast on that.
Yeah, definitely go download that PDF of the DVZine and check it out.
Chuck Chat Technorama. More fun than a blue screen of death.
I have a What the Chuck story. But we have to play our new What the Chuck thingy.
Okay.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
Yesterday I stayed with my brother-in-law and my sister up in Marquette, Michigan. And we had a family reunion. I rolled in Friday night. And I thought, excellent, they've got the wireless, they've got the broadband. Oh, as soon as I fired things up, I got an IP address from the router, but I was not able to get very far. Even a trace route was very painful. I mean, it would go star, star, star. Oh, I hit a router from AT&T. Star, 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 star. It was really strange. So Saturday night, we put in a movie because I knew I'd be on hold. We called up their ISP. I was on hold for 45 minutes before somebody called up. Originally, we went into the automated system menu. If you're having a problem with your cable or your television signal, press 1. If you're having a problem, and I navigated through this whole thing, and it got down to the point where...
If you're having relatives over, please press 3. I'm sorry.
Well, I wanted to get a hold of the guy just to talk turkey with him, but, you know, the first line people don't talk real technical. The menu system does try to help, and we got to the point where it said, is your cable modem operating? It said, press 1 if to continue, press 2 if you're, and then it said, or say, there's a problem, and I said, there's a problem, and then it gets even dumber. It says, your cable modem should be plugged into your incoming cable and have a blue wire coming up. And then I said, there's a problem. And I had to say this like 3 times to get it to drop out and try and contact a live person. But it sounded really funny. There's a problem. And you want to see how nasty you can get before it stops understanding you. So finally, I got into this hold pattern going, boy, there's got to be a big problem. Saturday night. And of course, then they're always saying, they offer 24/7 support. Well, if you're waiting to wait 24 days or 7 years, yeah, you'll get support. Finally got through to a real person. I said, man, there's got to be a real problem if you're on hold that long. I tried to start out nice, but after 40 minutes, I couldn't. I gave the phone to my brother-in-law, and he walked back into my niece's bedroom and was starting to fool around with things. We took the router out of the loop and just plugged the XP machine right into the cable modem.
Oh!
Yeah, that was fun. I never saw so many system alert messages come up in my life. You are missing some patches. Go here to find out more. Like, yeah, yeah, right. It's amazing what ports the firewall actually protects you from.
Yeah, no kidding.
The we got in there. We reset the cable modem. We couldn't get a DHCP number. I mean, it was just pain after pain after pain. It came down to either the cable modem is seriously whacked or there's a cable problem. If anybody remembers, I had a problem with rodents chewing on my coax cable last fall. That was cleared up. We did a visual inspection. His aren't underground. His run above ground, which means a squirrel could run along them and go... But we took a visual inspection. The wires were okay. So they said, oh, Monday or Tuesday, someone will be out there to take a look at it. So just real pain and suffering. And if this just gives me one more reason to get my site out of my house and get it to some professional, which should be happening this week. So I will say now that if you experience any problems with chuckchat.com this week, it's probably because we're transitioning to a new server. That's my segue.
Okay.
Now, I also have to apologize because we have been out of town or busy. I did not have time to do a Sunday featured tech podcast site of the night. What I do recommend is that people go to techpodcast.com. We are now up to 57 members. I thought That's it was awesome. Somewhere around 40, but according to Victor,
then you woke up.
Well, everybody's been going, oh, there's about 40 there, there's about 40. Well, we inducted about 15 in the last couple of weeks.
Wow.
It's really getting ridiculous. So head over to techpodcast.com. And if you do have a tech podcast and you'd like to apply for membership, there's a link there to do so.
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcastexpo.com.
Technorama presents Real Geeks of Genius.
Real Geeks of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Network System Administrator Guy.
Mr. Network System Administrator Guy.
Thanks for helping users do battle with day-to-day forces that delete files or create viruses, and securing our networks to keep the baddies out.
Watch out for that hacker!
What would we do with all of those blue screens?
Control-Alt-Delete!
When most of the people are out taking in a movie or having dinner with others, you're there, climbing under desks and into ceilings, pulling countless cables for routing packets that needed routing and keeping the internet up.
Got to have my porn!
For dealing with office politics when it comes to network policy. The only day you take off is when a Star Wars movie is released.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Today, we toast you with this jolt, Mr. System Network Administrator Guy.
Mr. Network Administrator Guy.
That was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. I have to thank my buddy David Robertson helped us out with that one.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. So that was our Technorama PSA. Be looking out for some more of those too.
We have other tricks up our sleeves too.
Yeah, don't you know it?
Stay tuned for more Technorama. Now we've got the Real Geeks of Genius. We've got Geek Thoughts. Working on.
Don't forget. Lenny wants us to call him again.
We got Lenny. We got a few other things. I'm not going to divulge here. Keep listening. Tell them how they can keep listening and get a hold of us if they've got other ideas, etc.
You can continue listening or get in touch with us. Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428 for the number in pair or the letters impaired. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. You can contact me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And don't forget our website, chuckchat.com, with all kinds of link goodness to our Cafe Press site and others.
Hello again.
So there we go.
Peabody. And this, of course, is my boy, Sherman.
Hi. Have you got any more ideas, Mr. Peabody?
I always have more ideas, Sherman.
Join us for more ideas next time on Chuck Chat Technorama. Until then, where's the music?
101.
There. I clicked too slow and I thought I wanted to start renaming the song.
Man.
Dang it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We know there are a lot of podcasts out there, and you chose this one. Why? We're not sure, but choose us again. Come back, and we'll talk to you real soon. Until then, binary high five.
101. Hey, Chuck.
What?
Never give your MAC address out to strangers.
My MAC has an address?